The title for my message today is The Just Shall Live by Faith. Now, this one statement occurs in the Word of God four times. The just shall live by faith. And I want you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. I receive mail occasionally in which people tell me they like to follow in the Scripture when I'm preaching. So I'll give you a moment to find the text. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Now, the Apostle Paul is the writer, and he boldly states in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, though it be foolishness to the world, and though it be a stumbling block to the religious, Paul says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed to believe it. I'm not ashamed to profess it. I'm not ashamed to preach it. I'm not ashamed to die for it. The gospel of Jesus Christ. What is this gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, God was manifest in the flesh. God became a man and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The Almighty God, born of a virgin, made under the law, made of a woman, came into this world and lived in human flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. God was made under His own law. God became obedient to His own law on behalf of His people. God in Christ took our sins in His body on the tree and died to reconcile us to Himself. God became a man, an obedient, submissive servant, made in the form of a servant, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And He died on that cross and was buried and rose again for our justification. That's right. That's the gospel we preach. And He ascended back to heaven, where He ever lives to make intercession for us. Peter summed it up this way. He died, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us, sinners, to God. And Paul in the book of Hebrews put it this way. He, Christ Jesus, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, became a man, by Himself purged our sins, paid for them, put them away, purged our sins, and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And this is what Paul's saying. I am not ashamed of this gospel. It's foolishness to the world, but it's a stumbling block to the Jew, to the religious, but I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed to preach it, not ashamed to profess it, to believe it, to rest in it, and yea, even, and he did, die for it. And notice the next line in verse 16. For he says, for the gospel, I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Christ. For this gospel of Christ is the power of God. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greeks. Sinners are not saved and justified and redeemed by their works or by their merit. They're redeemed and justified by faith in Christ Jesus. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son of God hath not life, shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe, not work, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And Abraham, who's an example, who's a pattern, who's the father of all believers, the Scripture says Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And then Paul wrote in Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. And to the Roman centurion, our Lord said, if you can believe, if you can believe. This gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. If you can believe. All things are possible to them that believe. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever, what? Believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, what? Believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right, now verse 17, Romans 1, 17. Verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. I won't take away from it. I won't add to it. I'm not ashamed of it. I preach it as it is to men as they are for the glory of God. I'm not ashamed of it because this gospel of Christ, incarnate Christ, crucified Christ, risen Christ, ascended Christ, seated Christ, exalted Christ, this gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For, now watch this, verse 17. In this gospel of Christ is the righteousness of God revealed. In this gospel, what's revealed? The holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the justice of God, the love of God, the covenant of grace. All of these things are revealed in this gospel, are understood and made known by this gospel. All of the mercy and grace of God to sinners in Christ is revealed in this gospel from faith to faith. What does that mean, from faith to faith? From one degree of faith to another. The more we read this gospel and hear this gospel, the more we know of the righteousness of God, the more we know of the holiness of God, the more we understand the justice of God, the more we understand the character and attributes of God, the more we see the love of God, the more we see the mercy of God, and the more we see that covenant of grace that David talked about. God hath made with me a covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And the more we hear this gospel, read this gospel, the more we understand how God can be just and justify the ungodly. And then watch this verse, this phrase here. Because, now Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Because in this gospel, in this message, we see how God can be just and justified. We see how His righteousness can be satisfied and His law honored and His character honored. Because the just shall live by faith. By faith, the just. Who are these people, the just? Well, they are those who are justified in Christ. They're those who have believed. They're those who have received the Son of God. They're justified by the obedience and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. He of God is made unto them wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's who the just. No, they're not just in themselves. They're not righteous in themselves. They'll be quick to tell you that. They're not perfect in themselves. They're not worthy. They don't deserve any of the mercy and grace and favor of God, not the least of His mercies. But they're just in Christ. Justified, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So these justified ones are those who are justified in Christ, not guilty, forgiven, pardoned. Their sins have been put away. And this statement, as I told you before, the just shall live by faith, is in the Word of God four times. For your information, if you want to write this down, it's found in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. It's found in Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. It's found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. And it's found here in our text, Romans 1, 17. The just, the justified, the believer shall live. He begins life, he continues life, and he goes on to eternal life by faith. And that must be of some importance because it occurs again and again and again in God's Word, four times. The just shall live by faith. What does it mean? Well, now here's the key. Now you have to get this. You just have to get this. This is the key. We don't live upon faith. Faith is not our strength. Faith is not our foundation. We live by faith upon Christ. Now that's the key. The just shall live not upon faith. It doesn't say the just shall live upon faith, but the just shall live by faith upon Christ. Now that's very, very important. We believe Him. We receive Him. We live by faith upon our Lord. You see that? In other words, I don't find peace in faith. I don't have peace because I believe. Christ is my peace. He made peace by the blood of His cross. You understand that? He is our peace. I believe in Him. I receive Him, but He's my peace. And I do not rest in my faith. I rest in Christ. But by faith, I came to Christ. He said, you come to me, and I'll give you rest. You come to me. That's faith, coming to Christ. But the rest is that which He gives. The rest is found in Him, not in my faith. You've got to understand this now. Faith is not my wisdom, nor my righteousness, nor my sanctification. Christ is my wisdom and my righteousness and my sanctification. But by faith, I look to Christ. And my hope is not in my faith. Somebody says, how do you know you're saved? Well, I believe. No, my hope's not in the fact I believe. My hope's in Christ, whom I believe, in whom I rest, in whom I trust, upon whom I cast myself, in whose arms I rest. You see that? So we don't find peace in faith. We find peace in Christ and rest and wisdom and righteousness and hope. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The just shall live not upon faith, but by faith upon Christ. Now, here are seven things. And, of course, you can get this tape by writing for it. It's called The Just Shall Live by Faith. But if you want to write down these things that I'm going to give you and the Scripture references, please do so. But here are seven things I'm going to give you on this subject, The Just Shall Live by Faith. First of all, how do we live by faith upon Christ? The just shall live by faith upon Christ. First of all, we live upon the name of Christ. The name of Christ. The Scripture says, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, it shall be forgiven you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Did you ever have a door open to you in the name of someone else? We just came up to this television station to make this program. And we came to the door, and the door's locked. They have a security system here. And you push a button, and the man's voice comes down over the speaker and says, who is it? And the people who are with me give my name. And that opens the door. They say, Henry Mahan, we're here to make a program with Henry Mahan. And that lets everybody in. They come in on that name. One time, several years ago, when the Pittsburgh Pirates won the World's Championship, the National League pennant and the World's Championship, 79, I believe, I had a good friend who played on that ball team, and I went to Pittsburgh. And I was in a meeting with a dear friend up near the Pittsburgh area, and we called Phil Garner, who played for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he said, come down to the game. And I'm a nobody. Pittsburgh, nobody knows me in Pittsburgh. Nobody knows me at Three Rivers Stadium. My name get me nowhere at Three Rivers Stadium or Pittsburgh, either one. But we went down and gave his name, and they opened the door. And with his name, I even went into the dressing room. And on another occasion, I went into the dugout using his name. You see that? My entrance, everything was open for me. A nobody. Nobody. They don't know me. But it's all open to me using the name of my friend who played on that team. And that's what God is saying. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Entrance into God's presence. Entrance into heaven. Entrance into eternal life is in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, not in your name, not in the name of an apostle, not in the name of Mary, not in the name of your church, not in the name of your pastor, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, faith, the believer, the justified, live on that name. That name gets us into the presence of God. And then secondly, faith lives upon the blood of Christ. When the high priest of old went into the Holy of Holies, came into the presence of God, you remember that's where the ark was and the mercy seat and the Shekinah glory, the presence of God. But when that high priest came into that Holy of Holies, he came not without blood. He didn't dare go into that place without blood. There was a lamb slain out there and roasted on the altar, and its blood brought into the Holy of Holies. The blood maketh atonement for the soul. It's the blood. I've given you the blood upon the altar, God said. And that high priest did not dare come into the Holy of Holies without blood, or he too would have been slain. Dare I go into the presence of God, of a holy God? Dare I stand in the holy place? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who's never lifted up his soul to vanity, who's never sworn deceitfully, that's not me. Well, how can we come into God's presence? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the same way that that great high priest back in Old Testament days under the tabernacle went into the Holy of Holies under the veil, right in front of the mercy seat, he took the blood. He took the blood. And that blood made atonement. And it was only representative blood. It was only the blood of an animal. And yet it allowed him to come till Christ came, the Lamb of God, and shed his blood. And now we go not into the holy place made with hands, but we'll someday go into the very presence of God by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way, his blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now then, thirdly, faith lives on the flesh of Christ, the flesh and blood. Now, I've read this scripture so many times, and I imagine many of you have. John 6:51. Listen, I am the bread of heaven. I'm the bread from heaven, the living bread. I came down from heaven. If any man eat this bread and drink my blood, he'll live forever. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And the Jews said, can this man give us his flesh and blood to eat? No. What's this mean? Well, here's the best explanation I can find. Israel in the wilderness is a picture of true Israel. Israel in the wilderness is a picture of the church in the world. How did Israel survive 40 years in the desert? The desert didn't provide them with any food. The desert didn't provide them with anything but heat and bugs and dirt and sand and wearisome ways. They ate bread that came from heaven, and they drank water out of the rock. And that's the way that we survive in this world, believers, spiritually. Oh, I know we physically, we're taken care of in the world. We have a good place to live and sleep and eat and so forth. But spiritually, and that's what true Israel is, spiritual, this world makes no contribution to us spiritually. This world really is detrimental to us spiritually. So how do we survive? How do we live? How do we survive spiritually? Christ is our bread, and Christ is our drink. Everything here is dead and dying, and yet we live. We live on Christ. We eat his flesh and drink his blood. The same way he's the bread from heaven, and he's the smitten rock that followed them. Bread of heaven, on thee I feed. Thy flesh is meat indeed. Ever may my soul be fed with this true and living bread. So faith, the just shall live by faith upon Christ. Feeding upon Christ. Living upon Christ. Resting upon Christ. Taking all of your strength and nourishment, not from the world, but from Him. And then faith lives, fourthly, on the righteousness of Christ. Now, every one of us know this. If you know anything about the Bible at all, if you know anything about yourself at all, you know of your identification with Adam in the fall, don't you? They call it original sin. As by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. As in Adam, all die. You understand that? You know anything about that? That's original sin. That's representation. God created one man. His name was Adam, red earth, the first man. We all came out of his loins. When he stood, we stood. When he fell, we fell. When he sinned, we sinned. When he died spiritually, we died. The whole human race. That's our nature. We're born that way. David said, in sin, my mother conceived me. I was brought forth speaking lies. We know that. We know that our nature is sinful. We know there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know that even our goodness and our works are not without sin. Nothing we do is perfect. Not God perfect. There's none good but God. Christ said that himself. And Isaiah wrote, our righteousnesses, our goodnesses in God's sight are filthy rags. The plowing, even the plowing of the wicked is sin. O wretched man that I am, Paul moaned and groaned. My sins are ever before me, David said. Then how can we be righteous? Which God demands and requires. How can we be accepted of God? How can we walk with God? How can we fellowship with God? I'll tell you how. In Christ. He's our righteousness. He's our holiness. In the Lord have our righteousness. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In plain, simple language, substitution. As in Adam we die, in Christ we're made alive. We're born in the image of the earthy, we bear the image of the heavenly. By one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. By another man's obedience, we were made righteous. You understand that? Substitution. Satisfaction. That's the heart of the gospel. All right, fifthly, faith lives on the Word of God. The just shall live by faith. On the name of Christ. On the righteousness of Christ. And now on the Word of Christ. You know, the Bible talks about many precious things. You hear about precious things in the Bible. Unto you that believe, He is precious. We're redeemed with the precious blood. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Those things are precious. Precious, valuable. But also, Peter said, it is given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. In other words, to the believer, to the justified, God's Word is precious. His Word is precious, and we live on that Word. How do we live on it? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Comfort, he said, comfort one another with these words. Spiritual growth, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Thy Word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Thy Word you have caused me to hope. How firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent Word. Faith lives, the just live, upon the Word of God. Peter one day was standing down by the seashore. They'd been fishing all night and caught nothing. And they were cleaning their nets. And the Lord Jesus walked up and said, have you caught anything? And they said, nothing. We've toiled all night and caught nothing. He said, just put your nets back in the boat and cast your boat out there and put the net over the side. And Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night. We're tired. We've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, we let down the net. And my friend, that's the believer's daily meat, the Word of God, daily strength. And then faith lives on the intercession of Christ. The intercession of Christ. John wrote in 1 John 2, "My little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate." We have an advocate. I may be condemned by the world. I may be condemned by the law. I may be condemned by my own conscience. And yet I have an advocate. I have a lawyer. I have one who intercedes. I have one who pleads for me. I have one who's never lost a case. I have one who has the Father's ear. I have one who is the Father's son. I have one pleading for me who has somewhat to offer. His own blood, his own scars, his own suffering for my justification. So I live on the intercession of Christ. He pleads for me and prays for me. And then last of all, number 7, faith lives on the offices of Christ. You mean the Lord Jesus has offices? Yes, he's our prophet, priest, and king. He's the captain of our salvation. He's our mediator. He's the Lord, our righteousness. He is our banner. He is all these things. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." My shepherd, he has assumed responsibility for me, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for he's with me. His rod and staff comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For I live by faith on Christ. If you'd like to have this tape, write for it. The just shall live by faith. And there'll be another sermon on it, which I'll preach next week, preaching the gospel. Till next week, may God bless you.